Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
When we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, we're talking about an influence like no other. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it influences us from the inside out. The world does its best to conform us, meaning to change us from the outside in. But I'm so grateful that God says, I'm going to start from the inside and I'm going to work on to the outside. So God doesn't change all of the outside things first. He says, let's deal with your heart. Let's deal with your spirit. Let's deal with your mind. And I believe that when God influences us, we have and we make the right influences to those around us. The last couple sessions, we've talked about the definition of influence, the action or process of producing effects on someone's actions. We call that holy habits, their behavior developing righteous reflexes, meaning that when trouble comes, we don't act or react like the world or like we used to. But now that we are influenced by Christ and His Spirit, we have a different behavior and we act different. Somebody say amen. And our opinions change. No longer our opinion, but God's truth overrides all of our opinions, all of our personal philosophies. That's why I am huge on children's ministry and youth ministry, because we need to make sure that they have a strong foundation before they're 18 years of age, because some of them are going to colleges where there are atheist professors where their whole goal is to break down and to cause them to leave the faith. Almost 80% of professed Christians leave the faith and quit attending church within the first year of going to a public university. That is because what is on the inside of them did not influence them at a stronger rate than what was on the outside talking to them. That's why I don't want to change. I want to be transformed. Because if I can change your mind tonight, there's going to be a better talker that can change your mind right back tomorrow morning. But when you are transformed, it doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what the enemy does. You are transformed from the inside out, meaning this. Nothing they do or say can change our mind. Why? Because we've been transformed. Before you can influence, you must be influenced. 1 Corinthians 15:33, we are encouraged and cautioned and warned by the Apostle Paul when he says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. What you are influenced by will begin to influence you, which will change your influence. I've come to remind you that it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 2 minutes or 2 decades, you are an influencer for Christ. You have been influenced by the greatest thing to ever happen in your life, which is accepting the perfect and the finished work of Calvary and the cross. And once you said yes to Jesus and His blood, and once you've been filled with His Spirit, I am here to tell you, you can influence, like you can transform the world and influence like no other. Jesus could have used anything to illustrate to His disciples and His followers what they should be like. But He said, I'm going to use two very ordinary things and things that you use every day, salt and light. Salt and light are change agents. A change agent is a catalyst for transformation. You and I, every day of our lives, are catalysts for transformation. That means when you show up at your job, transformation shows up. When you show up at the cookout or the family reunion, transformation shows up. When you show up in the courtroom, transformation shows up. When you show up at the hospital, transformation shows up. You are an influencer and a change agent. And I'm so grateful that God uses the ordinary to influence. Most of us are very ordinary. There's nothing about us physically or outside of Christ that would catch someone's eye. And if you are blessed with being good looking, usually that fades by the time you're 50, 60, 65, 74. I was at the bank today, and I was standing at the teller window, and there was an elderly man, probably in his 80s, standing at the teller window next to me. And the teller that was helping him was a young man, probably 21, 22 years of age. And the old man said to the young man, don't ever get old. He said, it's terrible. To which the young man replied, I'll do my best to never get old. To which the old man replied, he said, everything was going good till I hit 42, and then it all just fell apart. And I'm standing there at 41 like this. I got 5 months left. But we're ordinary. There's nothing that sets us apart physically. However, when Jesus gets involved, you become extraordinary. The value that you have as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, and I used it last week, but the Word of God says this, that God has chosen to put His treasure in an earthen vessel, and it cannot be what it looks like on the outside, but can I remind you that you've got the greatest power on the face of this earth resting between your elbows. Don't you believe the lie that you're not good enough. Don't you believe the lie that you've done too much wrong to get right. Don't you believe the lie that you don't have enough in you to make a positive impact on this world. God uses and chooses to use the ordinary to influence. Your age, how long you've been coming to church, and what you do or do not know about Jesus. And I know that some of you have been living for God the right way less than 6 months, and you're saying, what could I possibly give, and how could I possibly influence the world? If you know Jesus, you are an influencer to those that don't know Jesus. And if we listen to world statistics, out of 8 billion, there's only 2 million of us that know Jesus. That means for 75% of the world's population, you have something they don't have. You know something they don't know. God has done something for you that you've received that they have not yet received. Your age does not disqualify you. Your lack of theological knowledge does not disqualify you. What you have physically or don't have physically does not disqualify you. And your lack of position, which means power or lack thereof, does not disqualify you. It says in verse 13, Jesus tells his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. That day that Jesus called every disciple, that day Jesus called every disciple, those that had been following him from the beginning and those that had been following him for 5 minutes, he turns to every disciple and every follower and he says, you are the salt and the light. He doesn't say, how long have you been following me? He doesn't say, how much have you given to the cause? He doesn't say, how much sin is in your past? He says, if you claim me and you follow me, he said, you are the salt and the light. Jesus did not discriminate against how long they had been a follower. He did not discriminate against their age, their race, or their gender. What Jesus said is if you are my follower, you need to go and salt this earth and light this world. Steve Jobs said the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. I don't know if Steve knew Jesus at the end like I know Jesus now, but if a secular mind could talk about changing the world, and he did change the world with the advent of the iPhone and Apple company, but I don't want to change the world. I want to transform the world. And I believe that there are people all over this building tonight, and there are people that are watching online tonight, that the devil has lied to you, and he has painted you and put you in a corner. But I'm here to tell you it's time to break out of the chains where he has told you you are a nobody with nothing that can do nothing. And I've come to remind you of what God has done in your life. He didn't save you just to save you. He saved you to transform you so you can go back to the streets, the homes, the schools, the jobs, and everywhere God called you out of to go back and say, listen, he made a difference in me, and he can do the same thing in you. If you think you can transform the world, you can. If you don't think you can, you can't. You're right either way. But I believe I can, and I believe we can. I want to encourage everyone listening tonight, when it comes to this world, when it comes to this culture, when it comes to this city, when it comes to your family, and when it comes to this church, quit asking who. The answer is you. Quit asking when. The answer is now. Quit asking where. The answer is here. Quit asking how. The answer is Jesus and His Holy Spirit. There's too many questions going on when God said, we already covered this. You're the salt. You're the light. Now go. But we got people standing around, well, what did you mean by that? What you know, I've only been walking with you for 2 months, yet you know Him 2 months longer than most people know Him. Well, I really can't. I don't know what this scripture means. Well, don't talk about that scripture then. Talk about the ones you know what it means. Talk about the one you memorize. Talk about the one that you're walking out. Talk about the one that ministered to you. Talk about the one that transformed you. Talk about the one your pastor talked about on Sunday. Talk about the one that your friend sent you on with. Talk about what you know. We are asking too many questions. We're asking for help, and God said, you don't need help. I called you. I anointed you. I appointed you. Why do you think I gave you the Holy Spirit? Because I knew you didn't have what you needed, but the Holy Spirit's going to give you everything you need. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, go. You know, the word go all by itself is a complete sentence. Go. Well, where are we going? Go. Can I trust you to go? Can I trust you to just say, God, I'm on my way. God, wherever you send me, that's where I'm going to go. If you've called me to be the salt, I'm going to salt that earth. If you call me to be the light, that's where I'm going to be a light. Can I encourage young people that are getting ready to transition from high school to college, and God has picked out a college for you? God is not just wanting you to go there 4 years and to get a degree. God is sending you as an agent to that university, as a change agent, as a catalyst. He is getting ready to sprinkle some salt on Texas State. He's getting ready to sprinkle some salt on University of Texas. He's getting ready to shine some light wherever you go. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what I love about this is when we hear this in our minds, especially as young believers or just young people, when we hear about going to the world, we automatically, yeah, God, send the missionaries. No. This was to all disciples. Go. Well, God, I don't really feel called to China. He just said, go. Wherever you go, that's where He wants you to salt and where He wants you to shine. Well, I'm not as good with a microphone as Bishop is, and I can't sing like Pastor Becky can. God is not asking for what you can and can't do. He's looking for a yes. Is there somebody that will just go? And God, if I show up at my junior high school tomorrow, I'm going to be the salt and the light. If I have to go to the hospital tomorrow, I'm going to be the salt and the light. I was encouraged when Lauren was receiving her testimony a few weeks ago. When I would call Mario, I'd hear her in the background, and I'd ask him, and then she'd get on the phone. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. I've just been encouraging the nurses. Well, wait a minute. You're there to be healed. You're there to be encouraged. I'm calling to encourage you. Oh, I just got through praying for the doctor. That's salt. That's light. Wherever you have me, I'll be the salt. I'll be the light. Well, I work at USAA. It needs salt. It needs light. Well, I work at HEB. It needs salt. Even though they got salt on aisle 6, it needs salt. Well, I work at Target. Do we really need to go there today? They don't need the sprinkled salt. They need the salt that we put on the streets. We just need to back in. They need salt and light. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, they have chosen to push a satanic agenda now. They're selling shirts that literally say, Satan loves your pronouns. And you're worried about what they're going to think about you at your job if you talk about Jesus and you love your neighbor as yourself, and you turn the other cheek, and you serve, and you pray, well, I might lose my job if I pray for somebody. Listen, I'm on side with you when you hire an attorney where they're letting people have drag shows for little kids, and they're selling this craziness at Target, and you prayed for somebody at work and got fired. I like your chances, and I like the Holy Ghost backing you. Can I encourage you? The reason we have Target going crazy is because Christians for too long have not been the salt and have not been the light. We have salted the church and we've shined the brightest on Sunday, but this church doesn't need your light. The world needs your light. This church doesn't need my salt. The world needs our salt. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm under the influence. Got a few minutes left here. St. Francis of Assisi says this: preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Let me say that again. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. To be the salt and the light doesn't necessarily mean you ever have to open your mouth. But when I bring the presence of God in, I'm salt. I'm light. If the room was dark tonight, I wouldn't have to announce that I had a light. I would just have to flip it on. Some of us are afraid about announcing the light. You don't have to announce the light. Just be the light. Show the light. Reflect the light to everybody around you. You know what it's like. I just had this conversation with Mandy because Mandy has an opportunity to go to her 20th year reunion at her school. And I said, you going to go? She said, no, I'm not going to go because they're having it at some bar. And I asked her, I said, what happened to having the reunion back at the high school? And she's exactly right, because when I was invited for mine and I went to a private school, they wanted to have it in Austin at some bar. I said, I ain't coming around all that craziness. I'm here to encourage somebody today. Maybe it's time that we don't avoid the craziness. Maybe it's time that we step full force into the craziness and say, listen, I'm going to show up there, but I'm not going to be about that life. I'm going to be about the life that God has given me. I'm going to bring the light with me. I'm going to show you that I'm not who I used to be. I'm going to show you that I'm not doing what I used to do. I'm going to show you that I don't talk like I used to talk. I'm going to show you that who you knew 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 3 years ago, that's not the same me. When people say, you've changed, flip the words in your mind. What they're really saying is, you've grown. Sometimes it's a compliment, sometimes it's not. But what they're really saying is the you that I liked, the cussing me, the fornicating me, the you that I liked, I no longer see that in you. That's because they're tasting the salt and they're seeing the light. We've got former strippers in this room. Is that too real for you? We got former drug, and listen, I'm not talking about a little weed. I'm talking about meth addicts. I'm talking about crackheads. We got former prostitutes in the room today. Is that too much for you? It's not too much for me. Why? Because their salt is saltier than a lot of salt. Their light shines the brightest because it's not look what I can do. It's look at what the Lord has done in me. Mary that followed Jesus around, when he found her sister Chris, she had 7 demonic spirits in her. And besides, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she gets the most love and adoration in the Word of God. Can I encourage somebody today? You are not too far from God, but if you've got a testimony, you better shine that light and you better spread that salt. When Jesus uses this metaphor and calls his followers salt and light, he is saying you have influence. Check this out. Jesus declares it as a fact. You are the salt. You are the light. He leaves no room for questions. He said, well, you don't know what they said about me. I know what Jesus said about you. You know, people are always going to tear you down. It's that crab mentality. They're all in a bucket, and when you start getting out, they don't want to do anything, but they want you to be on their level. So they're going to talk about you. They're going to run you down. They're going to say, that church really knew the real you. Oh, the church does know the real you. They don't know the new you. So they try to drag you back to who you used to be, where you used to be. But I am here to tell you, when you said yes to Jesus, he said you are. Not you can be, not you would be, not if you do this. He says you are the salt and the light, and I need you to go and salt and light. Jesus declares it as a fact. He does not say you could be the salt. He does not say you might be the light. He said you are the salt and the light, which means this: the moment that Jesus proclaimed to his disciples that you are the salt and the light, the enemy took notice. The moment that we said yes and became followers of Jesus, the enemy took notice. And since you said yes to Jesus, he has been doing his best to steal, kill, and destroy your flavor and your shine. The moment that you walked down to an altar and said, God, I surrender all. I accept you into my life. I am a sinner who has done wrong, but I ask for your forgiveness. You are the Son of God. You are the way to get to heaven. You are my Savior, and I will make you my Lord. The devil says, all right, we'll see about it. We'll see if you are one of the real ones. So he starts attacking you, not because of you, but because of what God says about you. The level of your attack goes back to the words that God has said about you. Remember this. The Bible says that every day that Satan was going to heaven with the sons of God, when God was talking about Job, and when God was talking about how upright and perfect Job was, and then he had a conversation with Satan. The Bible says that every day Satan accuses the brothers and the sisters, those that have given their life to Jesus Christ. And so every day he is talking to God about me, but every day God is talking to him about me, and he's saying, the Brandon you're talking about is the unsalted Brandon. The Brandon you're talking about is the unlit Brandon. But now that I've got my hold on him, he is different. And Satan says, we'll see how different he is. And he attacks us, not based on us, but what God has said about us, what God is calling us to, the plan and purpose God has put in us. Can I encourage somebody? Maybe it's not you that the devil's after, but the devil knows if you become what God has called you to be, your entire household is coming to Jesus. You're going to wreck a city for Jesus. You're going to get all of your old homeboys and homegirls to this church or to an altar somewhere. Maybe he's not attacking you because of you. Maybe he's attacking you because he knows you got the salt and the light that is going to influence and change things. He's attacking your flavor. My mom grew up in Louisiana. I know something about flavor. I don't go to Red Lobster for the lobster or the shrimp or the fish. I go there for the biscuits, and that's a terrible reason to go anywhere. I go to Texas Roadhouse for the rolls. I go to Cane's for the cane sauce. Because their chicken is as bland as anything. You say, no, it's not. Prove me wrong. Buy me a gift card. I'll take it. Yeah, listen, I'll eat free chicken. It says, you're the salt. You're the flavor. You're the flavor of this world. This world without the salt. This world without believers. Today, as I was watching the news this evening, and they brought up the one-year anniversary of the tragedy in Uvalde, tears welled up in my eyes again. And I just thought this thought for what we're teaching tonight in accordance to Uvalde. I said, God, this world's messed up. And God just whispered, he said, it is, and that's with the salt in it. See, that's with believers there. Imagine a world without believers. Imagine a world without the presence of God. I've said this recently, but let me just remind you, the worst part about hell is not the hot, the heat, the flames. It's not the agony in which you hear people screaming. You know what makes hell hell? It's the first time in all of creation that there will be a place that is void of the presence of Christ. You think this world's bad? We got salt. His presence is still here. In the middle of calamity, you can begin to speak in tongues and let the Spirit provide peace and joy to your life. But for those that go to hell, they will have had their chances to become the salt and the light and will have said no. I can't think. I tell Mandy all the time, I want to be the first one to die. I don't want to live a day without you, because I love her a lot and because she does a lot for our home and for our church. Selfishly, I say, I don't want to exist in a world that you don't exist. And then I joke with her, I say, and should you try to marry someone else, I will haunt you from the grave. But I've tasted and seen how good God is. He flavors my life so good. I never want to go back to how it was. I thought Red Lobster was good until I went to Papa Do's. Then I found out they're playing ABC and they're teaching doctorate courses over there off of McCullough. I thought my life was so good until I tasted Jesus. Then I was like, what have I been missing? So I live my life. You live your life in such a way. I don't ever be outside of the presence of Christ. And that's a good way to live, church. But can I take your faith one more step today? I don't ever want them to live without ever tasting what I have tasted. I don't want them to ever go through life crying themselves to sleep and not having a present help in the time of trouble. I don't want them to be sinking in sand when there is a rock that is sure to hold. I don't want the storms to take them off course when Jesus, our hope, is our anchor. I've tasted and I've seen. So this is my challenge to you tonight. You've been influenced by Christ for a reason. You and I are the salt of the earth. We bring flavor. That flavor is peace. You remember what it was like the first time peace flooded into your bedroom or your life? I didn't know it could be like this. The first time joy showed up, you talk about a little bit of pepper and a little bit of salt and a little bit of oregano. No, I want some joy over here. I want some power over here. I want a dash of hope in my morning. I want mercy that is freshly baked for breakfast. And all that is because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Stand on your feet. I've tasted. My family has tasted. Our church has tasted. But our city has not yet tasted. I love that church is getting out of church. I love that we're seeing church services on the courthouse steps of San Antonio. I love that my friends are having services and taking out horse troughs and baptizing people in downtown San Antonio. I love that. Just yesterday, Tyler and I, we started looking into renting one of the biggest nightclubs in town to have a worship service in this year. I'm excited about that. It was an idea he came to me with yesterday. He has the best ideas when he's out at the barn working. That's where you should be, son. Work it out there for me. But I love that we have these things happening. And can I just tell you this before I open the altars? A friend of mine, he had a great event downtown. This was last year. He said, awesome. He said, 2,000 people showed up to worship, to look, to receive. And in my mind, I said, 2,000 is great. But we got 2 million people that need Jesus. And then God said, yeah, but those 2,000, now they're the flavor. I'm going to send some of them to the east side. I'm going to send a couple hundred to the west side. I'm going to send a couple hundred to the south side. We're going to send them back to high schools, junior highs, colleges. We're going to send them to homes with atheists and agnostic. We're going to send them back to Muslim communities and Buddhist communities. We're going to make sure that they flavor the region. The altar response is very easy tonight. If you're ready to turn the level up on your flavoring of our city, of your world, of your culture, if you're ready to be that salt and to be that light, if you're ready to go to the world, to the earth. Francis said, preach the gospel at all times. That means working at Valero, you can be the salt. Working as a cashier at HEB, you're the salt. Playing on a volleyball team at Madison, you can be the salt. Retired, playing a round of golf, you can be the salt. On via bus on the way to work tomorrow, be the salt. Talked to a friend of mine. I said, how's it going? I said, you need to pray for my Uber driver. They need Jesus. And we laughed, but I knew what she was talking about. But in that 8-minute car ride, be the salt. God has flavored your life. We have tasted and seen that God is good. And now it's time to take the taste that we have and to make sure that our world begins to encounter Jesus like we have encountered Jesus. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands. Go ahead and start believing, declaring. If you're in this altar and you need anything from Jesus, speak up tonight.